That looks like a Hummer.
This is Avengers Campus at Disney.
There we go. All right, if we could, I'd like to call this January 2022 meeting of the Salem Airport Advisory Commission to order. Anita, would you mind taking the roll call? And I guess I'd like to remind everybody, this is meeting being recorded on YouTube, so we'll try to keep the extraneous chit chat down to a minimum, I guess. But Anita, if you want to go ahead with the roll call, please.
Okay, then. John Foley?
Present.
Lieutenant Colonel Edgecombe?
Present.
Doug Bernizer?
I'm here.
Kat Pence?
I'm here.
Neil White?
Present.
And Mike Moreau?
Present.
Thank you.
All right. Well, as you all noticed, we have a new member of the AAC, Mike, is it Moreau or Moro?
Moreau.
Okay, I thought it was Moreau. All right, well, I just wanted to welcome you to the AAC. You're filling in an at-large position, and I'll just note that we still have an opening for the Ward 2 position. So if any of you all know folks in Ward 2 who might be interested in serving, please let me or John know. Let's see. Mike, could I put you on the spot and maybe say a few words to introduce yourself if you haven't already done it?
Sure. Yeah, so Mike Moreau, not related to any of the other Moreaus in the area, just to get that out of the way. Born in Salem, but I haven't lived here the whole time. I've went to school at Oregon State, have a degree in mechanical engineering with an emphasis in the aerospace sector, worked in the aerospace for the military for a little while, and then ended up working at HP for many years, and currently work at Nike in Beaverton. And I'm happy and excited to see what we can do here.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mike, and welcome to the commission. All right, we'll move down the agenda here. Next item is approval of the agenda. Has everybody had a chance to look at it, and are there any additions or changes needed? All right, if not, could I ask someone to move to approve the agenda as distributed and just state your name?
When you're... So moved, Neil White.
Thank you, Neil. Is there a second for that?
I second.
All right. Well then, since we're doing this via Zoom, we're gonna do a roll call vote, and I'll read each person's name off, and then you can say vote in favor or against approving the agenda. So Doug Brennizer.
Aye.
Major Edgecombe.
Yay.
Kat Pence.
Yay.
Neil White.
Yay.
Mike Mora.
Yay.
John Foley is yay. All right. And I guess Lieutenant Commander Edgecombe, I apologize for getting the rank.
Lieutenant Colonel. Commanders are Navy.
All right. Well, twice.
He's right. Wrong branch.
I apologize, and I'll try not to get it wrong.
I've been called much worse.
Yeah, well, I had my notes from last year when it was Major. Okay, so now that we've approved the agenda, let's move on to the approval of minutes. Has everyone received and reviewed the minutes from the October 27th meeting?
Yes.
And are there any corrections needed to those minutes? All right, if not, could I ask for a motion to approve the minutes as distributed?
I so motion. Doug Brennizer.
And is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, thank you, Kat. All right, then we'll go down the roll call vote again. Doug Brennizer.
Yay.
Lieutenant Colonel Edgecombe.
Yay.
Kat Pence.
Yay.
Neil White.
Yay.
Mike Moreau.
I think I need to abstain because I was not at that meeting.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, John Foley votes yes. So thank you. All right. With that approved, we can move on to the next agenda item, which is public comments. Because it's a virtual meeting, we're soliciting written comments from the public, and I believe I'm not aware of any comments that we've been received. John, have any come your way?
No, sir.
Okay, so then we can continue on to the reports. And I'm assuming, John, that you'll cover the tower chief if there's anything to
say. That is correct, Mr. Chairman. Rob was unable to attend again tonight. They still have an opening in the tower staff, so he's putting in additional hours again. One of their new people didn't make it, so they had to let him go. So he has one open position still. But he did send me his report, asked me to share some information with you. Given that it's the end of the calendar year, or the beginning of the next calendar year anyway, for the last quarter, they recorded 9,188 operations for October, November, December. Total operations for the tower for 2021, for calendar year 2021, 45,332, which is up from about 39,000 the prior year, so plus 4,000, pretty significant increase. As a reminder, the tower counts overflights through the airspace, and their counts. We count ours differently, of course, because operations at the airport are on and off the pavement. Our calendar year airport operations are 43,617, which is a plus 16% increase over last year, over 2020, and also the most we've had since 2008. And that was when we had Silver State helicopters doing flight training here. So it's quite a big jump for the year. When I first came to Salem in 2011, we were at about 32,000 operations. Now we're at over 43,000. So it's been a steady climb over the last 10 years. So that's all good news. quite a few actually, air traffic, what they call mandatory occurrence reports at the tower. That's anything that the FAA requires them to report through the formal system. They actually had three laser light illuminations, meaning somebody was pointing lasers at aircraft, one on October 4th, one on October 11th, and one on December 14th, all approximately 3 to 4 miles northwest of the airport, various altitudes that were reported by the aircraft. In all three cases, the Marion County Sheriff's Department was notified. Tower reports at the FAA, but as far as I know, there's really no resolution on any of those. My experience is very difficult to pinpoint anybody that's out playing with a laser. But these are things that the FAA tracks, and obviously they take them very seriously. So, and actually, this is the first laser light reporting I think we've had in many, many meetings that I can remember. So it's a little disconcerting to see three of them all at once. They did have one aircraft, the helicopter, enter Class D airspace, our Salem's Class D airspace, without establishing two-way radio communication. The tower observed the aircraft flying north to south, 2 miles east of the airfield. The aircraft then turned westbound and departed to Class Delta airspace. So then Sector 6, which is Seattle Center, was notified of that aircraft. That was on November 19th. On November 13th, they had one in-flight equipment malfunction reported. It was an aircraft that departed Salem. 10 minutes later, Seattle Sector 6 informed tower personnel that the same aircraft was returning to Salem with a double alternator failure. Tower personnel alerted ARF. ARF went to standby, and then aircraft landed without incident. And then finally, they wanted to report, you've probably heard quite a bit about it in the news the last couple of days anyway, but they want to make pilots aware of the risk of potential adverse effects on radio altimeters when operating in the presence of 5G C-band interference. That went in effect November 19th, which I think is today, November 19th, 2022. So they're alerting pilots of the 5G problem, which I don't know if that affects private aircraft or what, but they wanted to put that out there. So that was it. If there's any other questions or anything that you'd like to know from Rob, I'm happy to contact him and get back to you.
Any questions regarding the tower report? All right. I guess John also distributed the airport manager's report prior to the meeting, so I think we've all had a chance to look at that. Do we have any questions for John regarding what's in the report?
I've got a couple questions.
All right, Neil, go ahead.
John, on the taxiways, is there an addition or a plan to put a sign up there at A1 when you're crossing over runway for 13? to know where taxiway M is located. Because unless you're familiar with the airport, or unless you have your chart out, which you're supposed to, you can't see taxiway M from the west side of 13.
Right.
It's so hard.
Yeah, those questions come up, it comes up occasionally. There is no standard FAA signage for that type of crossing. So while there is no straight across from Alpha 1 over to Mike, it is a diagonal. There's no standard signage that we can install. That question came up when we replaced all the airfield lighting back and signage back in 2014. So at this point, you essentially have to rely on your airport diagram to know that Mike is not exactly across from Alpha 1. And our master plan, it does show that being corrected when presumably the north side of the runway actually gets moved 215 or so feet, and there will be a direct crossing. Looking back at my master plan map, where there will be an Alpha 1 across from Alpha 1, it will no longer be a Mike, or it'll be Mike on both sides, whichever way that turns out. But until that happens, until that capital improvement project happens, the signage, there's just no marking or signage to let you know that you're on Alpha 1 and you have to go back and a little bit of Mike.
Okay. The second thing, and it's not really, well, it addresses the master plan, which is going to be coming up, and just kind of a point of interest, because we've already started on the e-aircraft charging, and at the last Oregon Aviation Board meeting, they said that all the master plans in the future would probably contain that provision. So I think, you know, thanks to you, John, we're ahead of the game on that.
Yeah, that's correct. And interestingly, in our discussions with the FAA in terms of markings, like ground markings or signage for electric aircraft today, and of course there's no standard yet for any of that. So in the non-movement area, we can mark our pavement any way we see fit, whether it's a green lightning bolt type of thing or however we want to mark that, until they come up with some federal standard for electric aircraft parking areas, taxi lines, and those sorts of things. So we'll have to work through some of that as that project moves forward.
I'm guessing I'm drawing a blank on the company that's contracted to put that stuff in. They presumably they have some plans on that, do they? Not for how they would mark that.
The company name is Beta Technologies. They have their own, I guess, their own company logos and symbology they use. I don't know that that's any kind of an electric aircraft standard, but likely will probably adopt something similar to what they use. But we, in our discussions with our planner, since there's no standard, we're trying to kind of figure out the best way to differentiate electric from, you know, kind of the standard yellow taxi lines and tie downs. You know, we'll probably use something like green, which is, you know, you see in a lot of other places, or something that's recognizable for aircraft electric parking and charging. But we haven't gotten to that point yet. We drafted out a ramp parking plan and actually an expansion out to three charging stations, with some of our tie downs moving, transitioning to either staging areas for aircraft that need to be charged, or aircraft that can then be pushed back into a parking area once they're done being charged. So I think we can accommodate up to the map in front. I think it's about 12 spots that we'll have for our future build out. And then at that point, if it grows beyond that, which would likely be years down the road, then we would, and hopefully in our master plan, we'll identify a future location elsewhere on the airport for all aircraft electric charging. The problem is that right now we want to keep it close proximity to the FBO and the restaurant and all of those services. Whereas if we move the future electric parking further away, then it either has to have its own kind of FBO, you know, sort of food facilities, or it's going to be quite a hike over to the existing facility. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but hopefully that's something that we can address in our master plan, at least have a future location for electric aircraft parking and staging and food and vehicle parking. To, if we have urban air mobility type aircraft heading out of here to other places, then certainly we need public parking and a lot of that infrastructure. So long answer to a simple question.
Other questions for John regarding the airport manager's report? All All right, if not, then we can move on from reports to our action items. I think the only thing we have on the list of actions for this evening is the election of new officers, so it's time to elect a new chair and a new vice chair for the coming year. I apologize for the late announcement this week, but I tried to bring it up at the last meeting. But anyway, note that we're not supposed to self-nominate. So if you've got nominations, we'll do that first, and then we'll proceed with a roll call vote. We'll start with the chair position and then move on to the vice chair position. Any questions before we get started? All right. So I guess I'd like to start things rolling with the nomination of Kat Pence for the AAC chair position. I've enjoyed serving as the chair, but I think Kat would do a great job, and I'd like to nominate her for the position. Do we have any more nominations for the chair position? All right. Seeing that there are no more nominations, we can proceed with a vote. And since we only have one candidate, if you could just vote, indicate whether you're in favor or not of of Kat Pence serving as the new AAC chair. And we'll go down the roll. Doug Brenneiser.
I'm in favor.
All right. Lieutenant Colonel Edgecombe.
Yay for me.
All right. Kat Pence.
Yay.
Yay.
Neil White.
Yay.
Mike Morrow.
In favor.
All right. John Foley votes yes, too. So unanimous for Kat to be the new AAC chair.
And congratulations, Kat. Just jump right to the top, why don't you?
Yeah. All nobody right. else running, so I don't know what I got myself into, but thanks, guys.
It's John's really easy to work with, and we've got a really good group of commissioners, so I don't think it's hard to
dump. I used to be easy to work with, but now I don't know.
All right, well, congratulations, Kat. So we can move on to the vice chair vote. Do we have any nominations for the vice chair?
I would nominate Doug as vice chair.
And Doug would like to nominate Mr. Foley.
Doug would like to nominate Mr. Foley. So let's see. Doug, do you accept Neil's nomination?
No one's I'd rather see John Foley do it.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't affect my pay.
I'm happy to serve as vice chair, so I'll accept that nomination. Are there any other?
Thank you, Neil. I appreciate it.
Any other nominations? All right, if not, then we'll go down the vote as we did before. When I say your name, indicate whether you're in favor of John Foley serving as vice chair for the coming year. Doug Brenneiser.
I'm in favor.
All right. Lieutenant Colonel Edgecombe.
In favor.
All right. Kat Pence.
I'm in favor.
Neil White.
Yay.
Mike Morrow.
In favor.
John Foley votes yes, so I think another unanimous vote. So we have that action done with new chair of Kat Pence and vice chair of John Foley.
Congrats.
Thank you. And then we can move on to item 7, which is items for commission discussion. And I guess I'd just like to open the floor if there are any items that commissioners would like to discuss before we move on to the next item.
John, I have a question about the Northwest Aviation Conference. There was a rumor that the city was going, but I haven't heard any more than that. Could John, maybe Pascal, address that maybe?
Sure. We are participating in terms of renting a booth, not able to send a representative this year. So I guess participating in absentia. I'm not able to go this year because it's my anniversary weekend, and so we'll be out of town that weekend. But I understood that there were going to be enough participants to man the booth, and as I understand it, we're going to have one side-by-side with
Fly Salem.
The Fly Salem Committee, yeah. So I've been in conversations with Tim Hay, and unfortunately the B-17 Alliance is not going this year. We're hoping maybe we could get a whole row of booths just for Salem, but it looks like we're just going to have the two this year side-by-side.
Okay, thank you.
Puyallup is out of town for your anniversary.
Yeah, it's I can't seem to get my wife to want to spend the weekend in to all of his higher expectation. Not much higher, but a little higher.
All right. Neil, did you have a question? I saw you raise your hand.
Yeah, and this is just kind of a point of information because this is coming down the road in aviation, and we need to be, as a commission, aware of it. The EPA announced lead fuel endangerment findings, and the endangerment finding requires that the EPA take action under the Clean Air Act. And I'll just read two real quick paragraphs, and then again, this is just kind of some background information for commissioners. In a long-anticipated move, the Environmental Protection Agency announced on January 12, 2022, that it will take the necessary steps to regulate lead pollution from aircraft. Those steps start with proposing an endangerment finding on leaded aviation gasoline, expected by the end of this year. Finalizing the finding is expected in 2023. Swift Fuels has been conducting extensive scientific research, fuel testing, engine testing, and flight testing on all viable high-octane alternatives to replace 100 low-lead since 2012. Our number one candidate is to fully replace 100 low-lead is a premium 100-octane unleaded avgas product that is already patented and is currently undergoing testing and certification with the FAA. So this EPA move will basically help push the paperwork along through the FAA, and so it'll be a huge matter of producing the fuel and distributing the fuel to replace the 100 low lead. There is a county down in California that has already, by county rule, stopped the sale of 100 low lead at all the airports within their county. So this is something that's coming, and we just kind of need to be aware of what's going on. The drop-in replacement covers everything that is acceptable for all aircraft engines on Lycoming at the 540 and below, and the Continental 550s and below. So basically, anything that's four cylinders or less. The six cylinders, they're still testing under those.
Neil, do you know, I mean, I guess this is maybe not the airport specific, but I believe those using that full fuel requires an STC on the airplane. It's not.
Yes, that is the way.
Approval.
That's the way Swift Fuels, they're going with an STC. And currently it's available through, John, you may correct this, AvFuel, or is that the name of the company? It's currently available through them, and they're just kind of working out all the distribution challenges, which obviously there's a ton of them.
Any indication whether the FBO might start selling that stuff? Or
John would have a better handle than I.
Yeah. I haven't talked to the FBO owners yet, but it will be interesting to see how they're able to store that. If they have to store it separately, presumably they will be able to commingle it with low-leaded fuel. And currently there's no additional storage.
The drop-in replacement does mix directly with the current 100 low-lead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not that familiar with all that. I've seen some news articles and things, but at some point, certainly the FBO is going to have to accommodate, you know, the updated fuel storage and dispensing to their trucks and the self-serve facility. I mean, obviously, at some point, hopefully, it will be all unloaded, but there's going to be a transition period at some point where they may have to provide different types of fuel. That could be some sort of a challenge for them.
Is there, I mean, I guess I'm not sure, is there a role for the airport specifically there, or is that strictly an FBO function, or?
Strictly a fuel supplier function. We have one licensed commercial supplier here on the airport, which is Salem Aviation Fueling, so it's essentially going to be something they're going to have to deal with. I don't know, we haven't had any conversations about that. We have had conversations in the past about a centralized bulk fuel storage facility, if they grow beyond their current capability to store fuel. So we've had those discussions, but we don't have a location in mind or shown on the master plan, but we'd be able to have bulk storage with, you know, tanker truck turnaround and all of the utilities that would go to that and everything. So we've had those discussions in the past, just sort of pre-planning or thinking ahead. But so that may be a discussion that we have to have, you know, maybe sooner than later, if there's going to be a need for a larger bulk storage facility. But that's something that likely they would have to fund since they're the fuel supplier. So I don't know.
Yeah, I just brought it up, John, because, you know, it's going to be storm clouds building on the horizon, and I think we as a commission just need to be aware of what's happening.
Yeah, it won't likely have an airport function, but it may. If nothing else, it may be something that we'll discuss in the master plan as something that we want to show on there as a future build-out in some location and at least have somewhere identified for that if it comes to fruition. Otherwise, it's a little more challenging after the FAA's adopted your airport layout plan to then change things on the airport layout plan. You can, but it's a little more challenging. It's easier to do it during the master planning process. So that might be something to bring up during the planning advisory committee meetings that we'll have when the master plan project itself kicks off later this year.
That's up for Cat to fix.
Yeah. And point of order, Mr. Chairman, I think probably technically the chair should run the remainder of this meeting. Technically the chair. So,
okay. Yeah, sure. I didn't know.
It's a point of order.
I seem to remember when I took over, I let the previous chair do it.
But he was being kind.
All right. Well, if Kat would like to do the chair's report, then,
and I'm going to turn that over to you, Mr. Fowler.
Okay. Well, I actually don't have a report there other than to say it's been good serving as your chair, and I look forward to serving as the vice chair. And if there's no other discussion, I think we can adjourn the meeting for this evening.
If I could, Mr. Chair, before you go, beyond that, I'd like to thank you and Doug Bernheiser for continuing to serve for a second term. We appreciate that. It's been great having both of you here, and glad that Mike's on board and Kat and Neil are still on board. So we'll find a Ward 2 rep here pretty soon, but in the meantime, we've got a good group going forward, a lot of experience on this this commission, so it's fantastic. And I am interested, maybe we'll do this off topic after we're done recording, but I want to know what's going on in Mike's background there.
Well, all right. Well, if there's no other business, we can adjourn for the evening, and then John could ask Mike all about his background.